hear me now? Things work better with batteries. To believe I wore a battery out and I didn't even get a chance to speak yet. Praise the Lord, everyone. I just want to go ahead and you can be seated. I want to make it a little bit of a clarification. Some of the ladies have asked about their banquet on Saturday night, and I do understand that some of this was put into our calendar back in September, October, when they started putting together their schedules and making reservations and things like that at the restaurants and such. So it's all right, ladies, to go ahead with your secret pal banquet in the middle of our fast. We will continue to pray and fast for you. And I'm going to assume that the number of ladies probably just skyrocketed. How many are going to go to the banquet now? It's like, oh, we're excused. Can I get in? Is that a possibility? Are husbands invited? Oh, we saw that one coming. Maybe we should have scheduled a men's cookout or something. Oh, now I've got a huge Snicker bar up here, and somebody brought me a can of Mountain Dew. We're supposed to be winding down, and I'm seeming to be getting geared up here. So thank you. I appreciate that. And you're probably waiting for me to crack that open and have a snack while we're preaching, but we'll see. We'll see how it goes. It depends how long I get. If I get upwards to 9:30, I might just go ahead and break into that, but I'm just kidding. You know that. We have gone into the month of January, and we have started a series, and I titled this series, Releasing the Glory. And then our first message was Pray, Fast, Expect. That was on a Wednesday night, I believe. And then the testing begins. Pray, Fast, Expect actually was the last Wednesday night of December. And then the testing begins was Sunday morning. And a lot of people are in classes on Sunday morning. We've had the New Year's. We've had a lot of things that have transpired. And we're just finally getting all back together. And we've started. We've signed up for our commitments for the fast. We had our commitment service and our communion service last Sunday evening. We had a very powerful presence of the Lord in this place on Sunday evening. Our Sunday morning service was a very powerful service. And what I want to do tonight is we're going to just review a little bit of two past sermons, and then we're going to kind of go into new territory tonight. Tonight's message is titled Patience, Patience. And it's something that we all struggle with. What I'm seeking to do here is, as we enter into this fast, I want to take and give you the information that you need as we get deeper into this. Instead of just throwing it all out up front, as we go through this, and I'll get into that a little bit more in our message tonight. But reading from Matthew 17, which is our keynote scriptures for this month, Matthew 17, verses 19 through 21. And if you wouldn't mind, I guess, standing for the reading of the word. And then the disciples came to Jesus apart and said, "Why could we not cast him out?" I've related this backstory to this. They ran into a demonic man, a man that had many demonic spirits within him. And the disciples were curious. They were frustrated because in times past, when Jesus had sent them out, They were able to cast out spirits. Now they come across this spirit or a number of spirits in this gentleman, and they were unable to cast them out. So when the disciples came to Jesus apart and said, "Why could we not cast him out?" And Jesus gave them a somewhat of an odd answer. It doesn't seem like Jesus is even responding to the question that is asked. I mean, if someone were to ask me, "Why can we not cast out this spirit?" Well, it's because of this, this, and this. And Jesus goes into saying, because of your unbelief. He says, you don't believe. "For verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed," and he starts to lay out a little bit of an object lesson to them, "and you shall say unto this mountain," which the mountain that they were dealing with at that time was the demonic spirit mountain, "say unto this mountain, be hence, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you." And I love that portion of the scripture. It says, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, and you say unto this spirit, or you say unto this situation, or you speak unto this mountain, nothing shall be impossible to you. Then Jesus goes on to say, howbeit. He goes on to make a little addition to that, and he says, understand one thing, disciples, that this type of a mountain, this type of a obstacle that you're coming against, it takes faith as a grain of mustard seed, but it also takes prayer and fasting. For this type of a spirit that you are coming up against here only goes out but by prayer and by fasting. You can be seated. On Sunday morning, this message tonight, as I said, is a combination of Wednesday night and a Sunday morning. I was to preach this on Sunday night, but God had other plans, and I was totally fine with that. And as I said to our Sunday morning crowd, I believe that God, this year in 2016, has set this church body here at Calvary Gospel Church on a rendezvous with his destiny. A God-given destiny is in laid and in waiting for us this year. And all we have to do is pass this test. All we have to do is pray, fast, and expect. All we have to do is have patience. And if we have patience, we will be able to take and see what God has in store for us. So let's just review a little bit before we move into a new territory tonight. Prayer and fasting, as I have stated, when the two are combined, are the two most lethal spiritual weapons and most spiritual combination of weapon on the planet Earth. And then you add with that the written word of God, and knowing all of that, we can better understand why Jesus, as he was in the wilderness, defeated Satan. Why he took Satan's kingdom and literally destroyed it, crumbled it, walked all over it. The kingdom of prayer. Jesus had been in the wilderness for 40 days. He had been on a 40-day prayer and fasting. And even though we don't have record that he had with him the written word of God at that time, which would have been the Old Testament, he had much of that hidden in his heart because he knew it by heart. When Jesus approached him, he used three Old Testament scriptures to destroy and defeat Satan. You see, it breaks the power of the flesh, and it destroys the power of our flesh, and destroys the power that the enemy has over us. It kills our unbelief. It takes down fear, and it destroys strongholds in our lives and brings answers to our prayer. Prayer and fasting are two powerful, powerful weapons that we have at our disposal. Unfortunately, they are two weapons that we struggle with the most to deploy. We like to deploy the weapons of evangelism. We like to get out on the streets. We like to preach. We like to teach. We like all of these types of programs that we have, and we try to use our programs as a spiritual weapon. But Jesus is saying, listen, I give you two potent weapons use them. It's not one of those special weapons that you can only use one time and the game's over if you use it. It's weapons that we can use every day, continually within our walk with God. Prayer, as I said, is not the preparation for battle, but prayer is the battle. We're having a prayer meeting on Friday night. It is a very important prayer meeting. All of our prayer meetings are important. But as we go into 21 days of prayer and fasting, we've talked a lot about fasting. And on our prayer meeting, we will talk more about our prayer schedule for the next 21 days. And I believe, church, that when we gear up, if we're geared up and we're prayed up and we're add fasting to that, that God is going to take and perform miracles. I believe as we go in, if we have gone into 2016, our theme for this year is expect. As we enter into the month of February, we get through the 21 days, we get into February, we're going to focus more on that and get more into that. But prayer is not the preparation for battle. Prayer is the battle. And then we add fasting to that, declaring the word of God in our lives. And Jesus in Mark 9:29, that is when he says, this kind can come forth by nothing but prayer and fasting. All of the things that we can do to enhance our power and focus of fasting is doubtly the most potent. I believe that they were able to cast out the spirits before just by prayer, just by confronting them. But Jesus added the component of fasting. Now, I know some of you have heard all of this, but I want you to understand we're going to keep going over this because 21 days can be a long time. It's a short time seemingly when we're on vacation. And if you're allowed to take a 21-day vacation, I've never had a 21-day vacation. Well, I guess when I was in school off in the summer times, that was more than 21 days. But I don't think my dad ever let us sit for that long. So, with prayer and fasting, you see, we can go a certain distance in God. And we can experience many things without fasting. But we need to take, if we want to reach that level. I've been praying about this, and this is no indictment on anything prior to this. So please don't believe that I'm trying to compare past to present. But I said, God, why do we seemingly keep slamming into this brick wall when it comes to the number of souls that are saved? And I believe that God gave me an answer, and that answer is because the effort that you're putting forth as a church body, this is what I'm going to give you. Give or take. You may have a little more, you may have a little less, but you've reached the level that you're going to reach where you are spiritually at that level. You want more of me? You want more of me? Then you got to give me more of you. And that's what this is all about. You see, we can go a certain distance with our talent and with our abilities and with our ministries, but we're only going to get so far. And when we look at Jesus in Luke 4:14, he began his public ministry. And he had the power of God and anointing on him, and he went on a long fast. The early church fasted. And a church began, we look at in the upper room, 10 days of just intense prayer and fasting. They didn't even know what was going to happen, but they committed to it. And understand that fasting and prayer, it destroys our flesh. And this is something that we struggle with. And you're going to hear this over and over again because our struggle's not just going to go away by just one or two days of fasting. Okay, this is something that God has just led me, and we're going to get into this in a little bit, into this journey. I said, Lord, when you fasted, what did you go through? What was the process in which you went through? How can we do this as a church body? You see, God desires to do many amazing things, and he desires to do miracles among us. He desires to pour out the supernatural among us. But he looks for those who are willing, who desire, and who are just plain desperate to urgently make the corrections needed in their own lives in order to come in line, in order to come in line with God's will and God's purpose for our lives. Most of us don't want to make those changes. And the reason is because, let's just be honest, it's just boiled down to just pride. First of all, we don't want to admit that our flesh is even a problem. That's a problem. And God resists the proud. God hates the proud. But he gives grace to the humble. So the fastest way to learn patience is by fasting. I've had a terrible week in patience. I was talking with Brother Glenn Uselman. I went to do one simple task on Monday. One simple task. That shouldn't have taken more than 35 to 40 minutes. Took me 6.5 hours just to get the few things I needed together to get it done. I went all over town looking and going back to stores and says, this store doesn't have this. But now it was patience. I left the house at 11:30. I got home at 6:30. I was so frustrated. I'm like, I can't believe this. And God just reminded me, this is a test. You think this is bad? Just give it another week. Anybody ever have a day like that? You say, well, you know, that's just life. Well, sometimes it's just life, but sometimes it's one of those tests. And God is going, the first test that we're going to face is a patience test. And let's get into that tonight. I have found that many times the most difficult tests that we face, that you and I face, is when we're fasting. So we have to be prepared for this. I don't want you to feel that well, you know, this isn't a real meaty message tonight. You know, this is an informative message that's going to take and help us get through 21 days. Everybody understand the process we're going through, where we're trying to, where I feel God is trying to lead us through. On Sunday morning, we spoke on the topic, the testing begins. Deuteronomy 8:2 says, remember how the Lord your God led you through the wilderness for 40 years, humbling you and testing you to prove your character and to find out whether or not you would really obey his commands. That was a test that God was giving to Israel. Deuteronomy 8:3, the next verse says, yes, he humbled you. This is the New Living Translation. Yes, he humbled you by letting you go hungry and then feeding you with manna, a food previously unknown to you and to your ancestors. He did it to teach you that people need more than bread for their life. Real life comes by feeding on every word of God. The word wilderness here is defined as a desert place. It's a place of uncultivated life. It's a place where that you typically would not live in. It's a place of disorder. Wilderness places, when we look at that in our lives, so often we look at wilderness as places of difficulty in our life. They're places of pressure. They're places of insufficient resources and opposition. We are entering into a wilderness test. Just as Israel entered into a test in the wilderness where God was testing their character, God is going to test our character and he's going to test our patience as we enter in. You see, people tend to deal with difficulties and we tend to deal with difficulties better when we understand what those difficulties are and we understand that those difficulties have a purpose. So when we go into this, we know that we're going to face trials of our faith. And these trials, they're not pointless trials. They're not something that God is just using as pointless, because Romans 8:28 tells us, and we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them. So we got to ask ourselves, reviewing from Sunday morning, why does God test us? You see, the purpose of every test is to reveal what we understand. Certain things we already know about God. There's certain things we already know about prayer and fasting. And that is, the purpose of a test is to reveal what we understand. But also the purpose of a test is to reveal what we don't understand. So sometimes we go through testing and God reveals to us things in his word, things in our lives that we don't understand. And it comes out through the testing to reveal to us, he reveals to us the test or the lesson and how that this test relates to how we need to live our lives. I've had a lot of tests in my life. I've had a lot of tests in the last couple years of my life. And sometimes these tests become very frustrating because sometimes we put a B or a C effort into taking the test when God is expecting an A plus effort. If we want to pass the test with an A plus, then we got to give an A plus effort. If we're only going to give a B or a C or a D effort, you're going to get the test again. God is saying, I'm going to continue to give you this test until you get this test. And we're all going to be tested at different times for different things in our lives that we are struggling with. Our flesh struggles with so many things, so the test that Brother James Hawks gets is going to be much different than the test that Bishop Grant is going to get. Because we struggle with different things. But God wants to use this test or use this lesson and take that and relate to us how we should live our lives. So why does God test us? Well, number one, he likes to humble us. You know, we have a lot of pride. Our bodies, our flesh has a lot of pride. If you don't believe that, how much time do you spend in the mirror every day getting ready for work, combing your hair, whatever it may be? Some of you, you may not spend much time combing your hair, but you spend a lot of time cleaning your car. Maybe you don't spend a lot of time cleaning your car, but you spend a lot of... I mean, we have areas of our lives that we're very proud about. I remember years ago, we had a gentleman in the church. He stood up and I believe he testified that he thanked God that he was the humblest person there. Am I correct on that? So, I think there's a little pride there. You see, you can have pride by driving a brand new Cadillac that costs $65,000, and you can have pride by driving a rusted out Vega back in the 70s, or a Pinto, or worse yet, a AMC Pacer. That dated some of us. The Kirby car, that's what we call them. You can have pride by driving a rusted old beater. You can have as much pride. You see, the rusted old beater, you don't want anybody to see, so you park it around back so nobody sees. That's a sign of pride. Then you drive in with your Cadillac and you want everybody to see it. That's a sign of pride. They both people suffer with the same, and God hates pride. And one of the things that God is going to break down as we begin to fast is pride. It's one of the first on the chopping block. Because God says, if I'm going to work on your character, then you're going to have to humble yourself before me. You see, he wants to teach us discipline for maturity in his kingdom. If we're going to keep growing in his kingdom and we're going to keep moving forward in his kingdom, we need to mature as well. It's not always about me. It's not always about us. He wants to teach us self-control. He wants to reveal to us that it's not our strength that made us prosper and got us where we are today, but it is His strength. It is His power. You see, we also face testing so that we don't forget God. That's an easy one to do sometimes in ministry, surprisingly. We get so caught up in the process of ministry. We know how to give home Bible studies. We know how to teach our lessons. We know all of this. Oh, I can come in on Sunday morning. Oh, this is lesson four. Oh, I can do that. I can wing that one. Not a problem. We don't pray about it. We don't study. We don't spend any time. We forgot about God and we're trusting upon our own strengths and abilities. And God's saying, I want Calvary Gospel Church to trust me. To trust me. We face tests so that our faith in God will grow stronger. Where God is wanting to take us, we're going to have a higher level of faith. And that higher level of faith is going to have to be stronger. You see, sometimes when God tests us, He allows us to be dependent. Have you ever gone through a test where you feel like God is nowhere around? Gone through a time in your life and you're like, God, where are you? Are you even listening to me? You see, God allows us sometimes to be dependent. He allows us sometimes to get stressed out. He allows us sometimes to suffer pain. And you see, God is more interested in your and my character than He is interested in our level of comfort. You see, God is more interested in your character than He is your comfort. God is desiring to change us into His likeness, into His image. And impatience is revealed when something hinders our progress. And when our progress is hindered, we become impatient. Impatience is a sign of immaturity. That's a hard one sometimes. I had to face that fact that I'm being immature. I'm upset because I'm not getting what I need done. You see, testing is inevitable. Testing is going to happen. Either we're going to pass this test in the next 21 days that God desires us to pass, or we're going to pass this test next month, next quarter, next year. If we want to go where God desires to take us, we've got to pass this. It's inevitable. It's continual. You see, God just doesn't stop testing an individual as we grow in Him. We grow a level and we're tested. We grow a level and we're tested. It's just like school. You're in first grade. You don't get many tests in kindergarten. Maybe you do now. I don't know. K-3 or 4 and 5. I don't know. Maybe they have some testing. Some of our teachers would be able to say, yeah, we test that young. I was assuming possibly. So you have some tests. And as you grow, the tests get more difficult. But your level of knowledge has increased. That's why the tests get more difficult. That's like you go into a classroom at the beginning of the year and you've got that calculus book. And it's pre-calculus, so it's the very beginning of it perhaps. And you look at the beginning of it, you might understand a little bit of it. You open up and you turn to the very back of the book and you're like, oh Lord, I don't have a clue. How am I ever going to do this? But see, it's a process. It's a process. And we're going to go through a process, church. We got to understand that. And we're going to be tested. It's a necessary part of our growth. It makes us more productive in Him. It's a test that will influence how we live and how we think. And it's designed by God just especially for you and for me. Testing can become a blessing because it's through our testing We can see the supernatural work of God in our lives. We can receive assurance of the care of God. We receive assurance of the power of God. And we receive assurance of the faithfulness of God. And we are transformed by the renewing of our minds, and we become more mature Christians. And we develop the ability to endure. Patience. Patience. Luke 21:19 says, "In your patience possess ye your souls." What this is saying is, in your patience rather than by your perseverance. The word patient here means consistency or perseverance in sustaining afflictions. The word possess here means to preserve or to keep. And the word souls here means our lives. So this passage, when you look at this, could actually be translated as such: by preserving and bearing these trials, you will save your lives, or you will be safe, or by preserving your lives, that is, do not yield to these tragedies, but bear up under them. So in your patience, possess ye your souls. This passage, when we look at this, James 1:3 says, "Knowing that the testing of your faith produces patient endurance." This is going to be a test of our faith. This is very informative tonight. James 1:4 says, "But be letting the patient endurance have a perfect work," or allow it to become in full effect in your life, "so that you shall be perfect," or mature, "and complete, lacking in nothing." In patience. It's patience. Now let's talk about what it really means to be patient. When we look into the Old Testament, Genesis 12:1-2, the Lord said to Abraham, I'm going to paraphrase this. He says, "Leave your country, your people, your father's household, and go to the land that I will show you. I will there, when you get there, I'm going to make a great nation out of you. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to make your name great. And you are going to be a blessing to everyone that you come in contact with." So often we love to focus on the promises that God has for us. We like to read that where it says, "I will make a great nation out of you, Abraham." We like to hear that when God says, "I will pour out revival on your church, Calvary Gospel Church. I will pour out revival in your city. I will pour out revival in your life. I will bless you. I will give you favor in your community." We like all of these things. "I will curse those that curse you." We like that. We love the promises. Now understand, Abraham was 75 years old when God gave him that promise. He was 86 years old when Ishmael was born, and he was 100 years old when Isaac was born. What was the problem? He was given a promise, and 25 years later, God gave him that promise, but at 86 years old, he ran out of patience. And he says, "You know what?" Talking to his wife, Sarah, "You know what? Maybe I misunderstood what God said. I'm 86 years old. The clock's ticking. I don't know if I can be a young father and stand up to all of the rigors of fatherhood at 86 years old." Remember, he'd never had any children yet. He's 86, so he hatches this plan. He says, "You got this handmaiden Hagar. She's an Egyptian woman. Maybe God's plan is for me to take and have a child through her." Great plan, Abraham. That's what God told you. That's what God commanded you. That was the promise that God gave you. God didn't give you that promise. You became impatient in his promise, so you're going to work this way out yourself. You know all the mess we got going on over there in the Middle East right now? It's because Abraham didn't have patience. Some people won't like to hear that, because they're on the Ishmael side of the equation. But that's the bottom line. This fight that's going on, it started back then because of a man's lack of patience. Patience will destroy you, or lack of patience. He had given him the promise. But before the fulfillment of the promise comes a testing that God had provided and was putting Abraham through, a testing of time. God does not always immediately fulfill a promise. When we look at the conclusion of Sunday AM's message, we had a tongues and interpretation, and I want to thank, we have two individuals in our congregation that keep track of these and write these down, and I want to thank you for doing this. But it says, I want to cleanse you. This was God speaking. I want to cleanse you. I want to purify you. I want to open your eyes to things that you cannot see right at this time. God is saying, listen, Calvary Gospel Church, I want to cleanse you and purify you and open your eyes to things, but it's going to be a little bit. It's not going to happen right at this time. Now, God has promised that to us. He spoke to us and promises that. Just as he spoke to Abraham and said, I will make a great nation out of you. But we have to be patient. If you will submit, God goes on to say, if you will submit at this time, if you will submit to this process, if you will endure the pain, if you will allow yourself to go through a testing period, a time of testing, if you exert the effort, he says, I will not just assist you. I will come running to you. Do we understand what God just told us there? I know so many times we hear these tongues interpretations and we just quickly move on. But this is so powerful. This is God speaking just to us. This wasn't meant for any other church body but here, for us. He says, I will take you places you have not been. I will show you things you have not seen. I will perform miracles in your life and the lives of your family. How many of you would like to see a miracle in your life and the life of your family? I will perform miracles in the life of your family, the families of this church, and the families of this city. Open yourself to this. Submit yourself to this process, is what he's telling us. Don't allow the negativity. Don't allow your flesh to dissuade you from this. Submit, and I will bless, and I will perform miracles. That's what God spoke to us Sunday morning. I will come running to you. You see, God needs to know sometimes what is in our hearts to see if we will remain faithful in our testing. We become so very impatient at times that we want everything and we want it now. And we're not willing to go through the process. Patience forces us to trust God to fulfill his word. Did you just get that? Patience forces us to trust God that he will fulfill what he just said he would do. It is patience that brings that about. It forces us not only to trust to fulfill his word, but to fulfill his word in his time. It's not just about our timing, it's about his timing. And he says, church, I will do this great thing, but it will be in my time period, not yours. And so many times, we just simply abandon the mission because we don't have the patience, something Abraham had an issue with. Over the next 21 days, the test of patience will reveal many things to us. It will show us that our plans, what we thought were such good plans, can only fail. Our patience will test and show us that God alone will get the glory. Our patience will show us that God is a miracle-working God. Our patience will show us that God is faithful to His Word. Our patience will show us that God's power is greater than the power that worketh against us. What did we learn, or what can we learn from the testing of patience from Abraham? What does it reveal to us? That being chosen by God does not exempt us from the testing process. Sometimes we think, well, you know, Lord, I'm your child now. And we look at all of these blessing stuff, and that's what we focus on. But listen, being chosen by God does not exempt us from testing. Listen to this. God's grace is there even in our failures. But grace does not negate or cancel or nullify the price of our failure. God's grace is there in our failure. Listen, within the next 21 days when we start this off, if you fail, keep going. If you're 10 days into this, and you cannot resist Hardee's hamburger drive-through smell of charbroiled hamburger, and you blow it, keep going. Don't say, well, so what? I messed up. I'm going to just go home, and we're going to have steak and roast. We're going to have shrimp, lobster. We're going to throw out a feast. I'm getting all this food out of me right now. I can feel the downturn coming. Let's just eat up, kill the fatted calf. I had a hamburger, I blew it. No! Keep going. When we express doubt rather than faith, when we work to substitute our way for God's way, when we become distracted, just like Israel in the wilderness, they begin to murmur and complain. When we give up on our mission or we quit the test, that's when we lose. And the test will start all over again. If we are going to be successful in the next 21 days, I want you to take this information I'm going to give to you here in closing and use this to propel us to new heights in God. If we use these tools, if we pass this test, we can expect God to move more powerfully. Isaiah 40:31 says, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They that are patient upon the Lord will renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. In order to receive the promises, I love this translation, 2 Peter 3:9. It's God's words translation. It's similar to the message, but perhaps not quite as wordy. The Lord isn't slow to what He promised, as some people think. The Lord isn't slow to do what He promised, as some people think. Rather, He is patient for whose sake? For our sake. For my sake. He doesn't want to destroy anyone, but wants all people to have an opportunity to turn to Him and change the way they think and act. That's patience. That's what God wants. But in order to receive the promises, in order to receive this, we must pass the test of patience. As we begin our fasting, within the first 3 days, this test will come into full play. Because patience is a virtue. I'm going to tell you, you're going to struggle with headaches. I don't know if you know much about the human brain, how it all works, but caffeine, which all of us, most of us, consume in large quantities, it attaches itself to the brain just like those little toy Kinects. That's how it does. The brain, if you imagine a brain cell, is round and it has all these little pockets in it. And caffeine molecules fit real well in those little pockets. And they attach themselves. This is how your brain operates. Not only does caffeine, but nicotine, same thing. Codeine, heroin, a lot of these other addictive drugs attach themselves and it stimulates the brain. After a period of time, about 3 days, those begin to flush themselves out. It wears off. I talked with Pastor Thomas today, and he says, you know, I get really, really bearish and grumpy in the first 3 days of fasting. So is it all right with you if I just switch my schedule around so I don't have to be here and you don't have to deal with me? And I said, that's fine, because I get the same way. You see, we're going to struggle. These are things that our bodies, as our bodies begin to detox themselves, and we talked about this some Sunday morning, not all of us were in there. We're going to go through withdrawal. I'm going to go through this withdrawal right here. I'm not going to wait till Sunday. I'm going to start early on the process because I've done this before. I would strongly suggest if you're starting your fast on midnight, then you would probably take maybe Friday and start weaning yourself off of caffeine. I'm telling you, this is not sermon material. This is learning how to deal with patience. This is a fact. This is what you're going to face. This is what I felt the Lord, how God says, this is how we're going to do this. We become agitated, short on patience. Our temperament is going to change. Your kids are going to aggravate you. Your husbands and wives are going to get on each other's nerves for that first period. Doesn't matter if you go the Daniel's fast, if you go every other day fast, because your body starts to go through a process. I like to call it, we're physically detoxifying ourselves. I won't be preaching until next Wednesday night. Brother Phil will be preaching and Brother Seidel will be preaching this weekend. We have our kitchen remodel and I'm going to be working with some remodel crews and it's going to be a very long week and weekend the rest of this week. I will be back here next Wednesday night. Next Wednesday night we're going to move into another phase because you see, after our bodies begin to detox and we begin to put our flesh under the subjection of the Spirit, our battle begins to change. You're not fighting whether or not you want to eat a hamburger. You begin to fight a spiritual war that is starting in your body, in your flesh. Your flesh begins to fight against the Spirit. You lose your appetite for food, but you know what starts to show itself in our lives? Bitterness. You see, all of those roots that we continually just mow off at the surface through an extended fast, all of those roots become, and they begin to lay themselves bare before ourselves and before God. And then the battle changes, and we enter into a spiritual warfare battle. We're going to get through the first 3 days of the physical side of fasting. And when we come back next Wednesday night, most of us will have gone through or nearing the end of that battle, and we're going to go into the next phase of battle. Because that phase, the next phase of battle, is where our victory is won or it's lost. From next Wednesday night to next Sunday morning is going to be a radical change in the spirit battle that you and I fight every day. So when we come in next Sunday morning, if we are successful in our fight, Bishop, I believe that we are going to have church at a depth that we have not had church. Because God is starting to move in our spirits. You see, we're going through a physical change, and then we're going to go into a spiritual war. It goes from a flesh war to a superficial war to a battle that is deep down in the spirit. And I really believe that God is going to do some great things. God said, He told us, He says, I want to cleanse you. Stop drinking this doesn't cleanse me. That's not the cleansing He's talking about. He's not talking about caffeine cleansing. He's talking about a deep down inside our hearts spiritual purification. And that will start after we gain control of our flesh. So if you could stand this evening, I want to ask you, church, are we ready? Are we ready for the supernatural to become the normal here at Calvary Gospel Church? You understand something, that when we begin to enter into this process, it doesn't just stop in 21 days. This is the beginning of a process. The next time we fast, God may not say, I want you to fast 21 days. He may say, I want you to fast for 24 hours, intent, prayer, and fasting. I want everyone to come here at Friday night, 7 o'clock, and we're going to pray until Saturday night, 7 o'clock. I don't know, whatever God feels and leads on my heart to do. But this is just the beginning. And I believe that God is waiting and looking at the end and saying, come on, church. Come on. You can do this. You can do this. Just listen. Listen to the words of your pastor. Listen, this isn't going to be a struggle for me. God knows I love food. You guys know that. We can do this. We can do this. So as we committed on Sunday evening, and we enter into the final stretch before this starts, I want you to take tonight, and I want you to take, and I want you to ask God to help you to make it through these first 3 days. We're not going to focus on after the 3 days. We're going to focus on Sunday to Wednesday. That's what we're focusing on. We're not going to look at 21 days right now. We're going to look at 3 days. So I'm going to open up this altar, and I want to invite you to come. And I want you to pray, Lord, get me through 3 days. Can you get me through, God? Can you help me take my flesh and submit it to the Spirit for 3 days? That's what I'm asking, God. I'm just asking for 3 days.